Amen. Doing what you can. Amen. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate the prayers. My sister seems to be doing well. She's at home, and she's doing well. And so we've got Stephen to be praying for his surgery tomorrow, and more so Hannah to be praying. So Stephen will have stuff to take when his pain comes on. Hannah won't. Am I mean? Didn't I already ask that question? Yeah, I'm working on it. Amen. That was just too easy. But anyway, it is good that we know that the Lord will take care of things. And so we just need to bring them to Him and spend some time with Him and ask Him to help us. Amen. It's good to see Ben and Miss Dakota back tonight. It's good to see them. Been praying for them. And I hope and pray that everything continues to go better than it has been. Amen. Be well and everything. And also, please don't forget Nathan and Addison. Amen. They'll be having a child. I determined it'd be on my birthday, somewhere in December. Amen. No, it's a little later than that. But y'all pray for them as well. And I believe that they're trying to get some things worked out where they can be in church. So that'd be an answered prayer as well. And so let's lift them up in prayer and ask God to help them. So there's many to be praying for. Continue to pray for Miss Margaret. She's been having to go back and forth to the doctor with breathing issues and different things. So y'all lift her up as well. That God will take care of some things. Amen. So plenty to pray for. Right? Yes, plenty to pray for. Yes, y'all going to jam out down there, bro? just continue to pray. Pray for that. All right, if you will, I'm going to go to the book of Jonah tonight. And I don't think I'm going to start another series of stuff, but you never know. It may turn into that, but I don't know that it will be. But the book of Jonah, it's right before Micah and right after Obadiah. I know that helps you. Amen. You know the story of Jonah, but sometimes it's hard to find, right? It's just right there toward the end of the Old Testament. We're not really going to deal with the normal Jonah story tonight. We're going to deal with the ending of it in chapter number 4. And tonight we're going to look at the gourd ministry. Amen. The gourd ministry. Amen. That's right. So we're going to look at a few things dealing with that tonight. And see if we can't make some application. And if I go fast, don't worry about it. It'll be recorded. Amen. Yeah. So you can go and look and just pray that we could do what God have for us to do and be a blessing. Look at some stuff. But anyway, here in Jonah chapter number 4, it's only 11 verses, but we're not going to read all those verses. But some things about Jonah. You know what Jonah did, amen. When God called him to service, God called him into ministry, amen. For his reasons, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. And so he decided he was going to run from God. Plenty of messages about running from God that can be applied to us tonight and several of us about doing our own thing instead of getting into ministry as God calls us to do. But he tried to get away from it. God did some things. And there's some interesting facts that the scriptures give us these things about God. God prepared 4 things in the book of Jonah. He prepared the fish. He prepared the gourd. Amen. He prepared the wind, the east vehemently east wind, and he prepared the worm. And so those four things he prepared in the book of Jonah. And but we're not gonna talk about those things. But that's interesting if you ever wanted to do some kind of study on that. But we know that Jonah was in a mess and actually endangered other people's lives because he ran from God. One thing to remember about all this stuff is you know what? If we don't follow the Lord in the way He would have for us to do, it could endanger our families. It could endanger some other people that are around us if we don't follow God. And so, you know, I keep going to that verse over there in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. Sometimes we just have a bad vision of who God is. And the reason why is there's something between us and God that we just can't see God. And so when Uzziah died, just by illustration of the verse, when Uzziah died, he said, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. We see the Lord in his rightful position. Amen. Yep. And so sometimes God will have to remove some stuff from our vision so we can see him. And he certainly did that with Jonah. Amen. he removed Jonah, didn't he? And sometimes he's got to remove us. He's got to remove us from ourselves. And so it worked for a little while with Jonah. But then you get to the end of the story and we see a selfish man. We see a man that is bitter. We see a man that is selfish. And so we're going to look at some of that here tonight, here in chapter 4 of the book of Jonah. Everybody got that? Notice here in verse number 5, the Bible says, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Now you know he just got out of Nineveh and they all repented and God spared them. And so Jonah was going to go up, and he did. He went up there in verse number 6 and sat on the east side of the city. And man, he started, looking down and just seeing what was going to happen. Amen. Made him a little booth there for him to stay in. And the Bible says in verse 6, and the Lord God prepared, there's one of you prepared there. God prepared a gourd and made it to come over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. So I'm going to look at this thing about the gourd ministry. Amen. I just have 2 points, but they have dozens of subpoints. But we won't get into all that. We'll try to be prudent. And I was going to say, I won't let you out before dark. It's almost dark now. We'll try to do the best we can to get you out before midnight. How's that? Earlier than that. Amen. Brother Randy's got to be at work. He gets up at 3, don't you? 4, yeah. Tommy gets up at around 3. Yeah. 3 or 4. I mean, what difference does that make? Amen. Oh, my. But anyway, we'll try to get you out of a decent hour. Notice here in verse number 6, Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. And so we're going to look at that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, please help us tonight. And Father, I don't want to do anything outside of the boundaries, God, that you've laid. Father, I want to help these people. God, I want to get some help. And Lord, I just want my mind to be clear. I want, Lord, you to be able to speak. I want to recognize your voice. Father, be with all our prayer requests tonight. And Lord, we want to thank you for answering prayers and keeping our folks safe and healing folks. And Lord, as we've already spoke about, as Stephen deals with his surgery tomorrow, God, I pray that all things would go well. And you'd be with doctors, you'd be with him, you'd be with Hannah, you'd be with their family, God. And Lord, you just watch over them, help them. Others, God, that are hurting, going through trials in their life. And God, we just want to lift them up. Father, thank you for the visitors we had Sunday. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, if it's your will, they'd come back. And Lord, that we'd be able to fellowship with them. We love you, and we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this is what takes place. He goes down to the city. The city repents after he preaches, and so he goes up on the hill, and he starts looking and seeing what's going on. Well, as he gets up there, evidently it was pretty warm. And so God took the time, amen, and prepared a gourd. And he's already in a booth, but evidently it wasn't enough shade to cover him. So the shade that he had got added to it by putting the gourd there. He said there that that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him, notice this, from his grief. I want to give you a few things about the gourd and about some of this stuff and about what's going on here. It was prepared to relieve him, amen, of his grief. So he was, the grief, I don't think the grief was anything to do or had anything to do with the people. The grief was his own comforts. Amen. I mean, and you'll see that, and we'll see it here in a minute. But his grief was about his own comfort, amen, about where he was at and his own personal situation of him being up there, and it was hot, amen. And so that was his grief. And we find out that one of the reasons that we know that he was a selfish man is simply for that fact that, you know, he was grieving because of the heat. He was grieving because of his personal comforts was not what he wanted. But we also see that even though God knew that, God still provided some comfort. God still helped him with that thing, and he knew what was going on. And if you look at the verse, the Bible says Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. He rejoiced over the gourd. Are you seeing that? He didn't rejoice over the people. He rejoiced over the gourd. Amen. So let's look at a few things about that, and I'm just going to read some stuff, and maybe we can apply some of this stuff about this gourd, and maybe we can apply it to our life and see where we stand with this stuff. I'm going to try to just be calm, amen, and try not to yell, amen, and try to just, you know. So the Lord prepared many gourds. Let me tell you this. He prepared many gourds in my life. Didn't he give you a lot of gourds? I'm not talking about your husband's head either. I'm talking about God has protected us and covered us in a lot of situations. Amen. He's brought help to our life, you know. Many hard times, you know, God brought some gourds, if you will, and he brought some of these things give us relief from our grief. Amen. He overshadowed. Look there what it says. It says there in verse number 5, six, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah. I mean, specifically, God looked at Jonah and looked at his problem, looked at his grief, and God said, I'm just gonna try to give him some relief in that. You know, and there's been many times God has just looked at us and said, you know what, I want to give them just a little relief in that situation. Amen. And just try to help them of what's going on. Now, you know, sometimes, as we've already established, there's times to where we'll reject what God asks us to do. Amen. He'll ask us to give out a tract or make a witness or give a witness or maybe do something or whatever. And you know something? It may not be on the stage of where Jonah was at. Amen. But still, at the same time, it's still just as bad. Amen. When we do not listen to God and we do not do what God would ask for us to do. So what Jonah did was he rejected that call for service, just like we do sometimes. Amen. He rejected that call of service, but yet God still blessed him. And you know something? God still blesses us. And still God will prepare a shadow over us to take care of us. Amen. We just sang that song about the hand of God. Amen. And so we still see that God, even after God having to give Jonah the little nudge that he did when he became whale bait, amen, he had to move him to do that, but yet God still brought a blessing to him. God still had compassion on him. Aren't you glad we got a gracious God? Many times God's had to move us, hadn't he? And had to prepare a great fish in our life to wake us up. And finally, we get the message and we go and do something. And then God, even though God had to nudge us and push us into that, God still blesses us for the service we do for him. I mean, what a God. Jonah didn't deserve the gourd, right? How many of us deserve it? None of us deserve that, right? He didn't deserve that relief. He didn't deserve all that stuff. And you know something? By our attitude sometimes, we can say we don't deserve God's mercy, God's grace. We don't deserve the gourd over our heads, amen. We don't deserve those things, amen. We call that a gourd of relief, amen. And that's what that was. I mean, it relieved Jonah of the heat. It relieved him of the sun pounding down on him. And so we find that his attitude didn't fit. And sometimes our attitudes don't fit. But God still brought relief. God still prepared that gourd and brought relief. And you know, there's plenty of times our attitude's bad, and just like Jonah, we complain a lot. Amen. We complain a lot. I mean, we just complain and we whine, and we just have a bad time sometimes, you know. And we complain because sometimes we'll start watching somebody else and we'll say, well, why's God blessing them? They didn't go and preach to all them people. They didn't do all that stuff. Why's God blessing them? Why don't He bless me? Amen? And we start looking around, and we start whining. Our attitude's bad, and we start complaining, and we start seeing and thinking that God's blessing them more than He's blessing us. Amen? That's just what we do. Amen? And so we get frustrated sometimes. We get to that place, And man, I tell you, a third thing about this thing, I can tell you this, is that it's obvious Jonah was more concerned about his comforts than the people hearing the truth. And we can get that way. We can get more concerned about how comfortable we are. We can get more concerned about you know, our comfort zone, amen, and instead of, you know, putting ourselves out there somewhere. And doing something for God. You say, man, that's embarrassing. But we'll do a lot of things to embarrass ourselves for things that we want to do. And for our comfort. We don't mind doing a bunch of stuff as long as it benefits us. Right? I mean, I've done that, you know. I've done crazy things, and you know, the thing is, what we've heard before is, you know, everybody's a fool for something, amen. And we are. We're a fool for stuff. But it's obvious that Jonah, he was just more concerned about him being comfortable than the people turning to the Lord. He was more concerned about that, and it kind of shows us, you know, how hard sometimes it is for us to get out of our comfort zone. You know, going out here on the street and talking to people, you know, that's uncomfortable. It really is. It's uncomfortable. You know, meeting new people, inviting people to church, handing them a tract, you know, doing all these things. You know, it's uncomfortable. But yet, if we wanted to buy a truck, you know, we wanted to stop and see one on the side of the road, we don't mind calling people. So, hey, how much you want for that truck? Right. Yeah. Amen. You know, hey, that tractor you got over there, what do you want for it? And you ladies, maybe, I don't know. Maybe y'all talk about dresses or something. I really don't know what y'all talk about. But I mean, you know, if there's something, you know, you don't mind talking to somebody and telling them, hey, there's a sale going on over here at, what Brother Jason said, Beals? Whatever that place is. Belks, yeah, there it is. But I mean, you know, when it's a part of us and inside of our comfort zone, we don't mind talking, and we'll talk all day long about stuff like that. But when it comes to the service and the ministry and what God would have for us to do, sometimes we'll have the Jonah syndrome. Amen? We'll have the Jonah syndrome. And it shows us pictures of how hard it is for us to get out of our comfort zone. And you know, we've heard the story, and I say the story, we've heard the phrase that if we're not going to do it in here, we certainly aren't going to do it out there. And I believe that, you know. If we're not going to open our Bible in here, we're not going to do it out there. Right? If we're not going to talk to people in here, we're not going to talk to people out there. We're just not going to do it. And so it's easy in here. Right? It's easy in here. But when you get out there, it's just a little different. But yet, that's where the Lord calls us. Amen. In here is where we get strength. And here's where we grow and learn. Amen? That's why it's important to be in church. Amen? You got Sunday school. You got preaching. Brother Andy reads the Bible. Amen? Y'all pray for me. I finished Revelation this morning. I started in Genesis again. Amen? And so I'm back in the Old Testament again. Amen? And so I enjoy that. But the thing about it is if we don't open our Bibles in here, we're not going to open them at home. Yeah. We're just not going to do it. Amen. And I'm not getting on you. I'm just saying sometimes we get that Jonah syndrome. We get to thinking about us. We get to thinking about, you know, I don't have time. I got other things to do. And there's things that needs to be cared for. Well, we got our priorities messed up. And we forget that it's more important that we do the service of the Lord. Amen. And so it shows us a picture of us. And then a fourth thing of about this thing is that Jonah, you know what? He could have done so much more if his heart had been in the right place. Amen. If we'd spend more time walking with the Lord and listening, amen, to the call of service, right? We might find that God will open some doors for us. We might find that God would God would come and maybe prepare a gourd over our life. Amen. Amen. He may provide some shade and from the devil. Amen. He may help us in the middle of the troubles and trials that we got going on. I mean, you just never know what God may do if we just follow Him and do what He asked for us to do. He could have done so much more. Jonah could have done so much more than just preaching to the people. Jonah's heart was not in that preaching. Jonah's heart was not in that message. Jonah, I mean, that's a perfect picture of understanding and knowing that Jonah, the man standing up here, can't save anybody. It's the message, amen. And it's not the messenger. And Jonah didn't want to be there. He made it plain to God that he did not want to preach to those people. He said, if I preach to them people, you'll save them. And he did. Amen. I mean, you know, and Jonah was upset about the thing. And there's some things going on there that we're not going to cover. But yeah, Jonah had was bitter against those people for various reasons. But the bottom line is Jonah did not want those people to be saved. He did not want that town, that city, to be spared by God. And boy, if his heart was in a different place, how much more do you think he could have done? I mean, isn't that amazing? Look at your life. Look at the things God's blessed us with. Look at how God, and then look at the bitterness of our heart and just think there's so much more that could be done if our heart would just get in the right place. Amen. Again, I'm not getting on you, not yet, but I'm not getting on you, amen. It's just thought provoking. Amen. We get the Jonah syndrome, amen. There's Jonah. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He tried to run from God. Amen. And he went to what they call Whale University. Amen. And the old backsliding preacher. Amen. Even a whale couldn't stomach a backsliding preacher. Amen. Made him sick. Threw up. Amen. Amen. I'm just saying, folks. If we could just get our heart in the right place to where we would serve God and get out of our comfort zone a little bit, man, there's no telling what God could do. The Bible says that when the 12 apostles, the disciples and all of them, after the Lord left and went up into glory, the Bible says they turned the world upside down. 12 men turned the world upside down. There's a few more than 12 in here. Amen. Amen. We should be able to do that. Oh, preacher, it's a different world. Where's your heart? Amen. If we get our heart in the right place. So that's basically about the gourd of relief. And then the second part of the message tonight is about the gourd of sorrow. Man, we don't deserve the relief. Amen. We don't deserve the blessing of God's hand on us, God overshadowing us, God coming upon us. We don't deserve any of that. Jonah didn't deserve that. And we read that in the scriptures. He didn't deserve that. And we see his bitterness in the verses. We see his discomforts, amen. We see his disobedience, if you will. We see those things. And you know, when I read this, I see myself in a lot of this. Amen. It's a time of playing checkup and just seeing myself in some of this. If you look at this thing, we're going to see some changes. Verse number 6, man, he's rejoicing because the gourd that God prepared, amen. So God prepared him, God delivered him from his grief. And then the next thing you know, you find in verse number 7, the Bible says, but God prepared a worm. God prepared a worm, and he says, and when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. Man, how quick the blessings can go, amen. But we see that from this gourd of sorrow, we see that the gourd turned from being a relief to being a sorrowful situation, right? And God provided relief, but Jonah never did appreciate it. And you don't read in the scripture where you ever thank God for it. See how quick those things can turn? Jonah was unthankful. Jonah was unappreciative of what God had done for him. Amen. Folks, this is just a message of a reminder for us that we ought to be thankful for what God gives us. Hey, we ought to be thankful for these things and not take these things for granted. Jonah was bitter. His heart was in the wrong place. Man, he just despised Nineveh. He did not like it that they got right. Amen. I mean, it was a bad situation. And Jonah's heart, I'm telling you, it just was not in the right place. I'll give you a couple of two, three things and we'll be done. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Keep your place here and turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. It's right before Jeremiah, right after Songs of Solomon, Isaiah chapter 5. I want you to notice here what the Bible is saying here. He says, look there in verse number 1 so we can get the context. You got it? Say amen. Amen. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. So he's given you this, that there's a vineyard there, and it's a fruitful hill. The ground had nutrients in it, and it was a fruitful place, okay? You seen the picture for the vineyard? And the Bible says, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine. He got the best, amen. And it says, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes. And notice this, and it brought forth wild grapes. And it says in verse number 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, the men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. So the Lord is speaking through Isaiah, and he's giving this analogy and giving this illustration that there's this vineyard that was planted, in a very fruitful hill. It had the right nutrients. It had everything there. He fenced it. He did everything he could, got the best of the vines and everything, and put it there. And it says that it turned bad. God provided for Israel, amen. God gave them everything they needed to survive, to live, to be the example, amen. I mean, he saved them out of Egypt. He brought them miraculously through the Red Sea. I mean, miracle after miracle, 40 years in the wilderness of feeding them. Their clothes never rotted or went away. Or they didn't even go out of style, amen. I mean, I don't think they had bell bottoms, but they just never went out of style, amen. And God protected them and took care of them. But he said, yet it brought forth wild grapes. So he says in verse number 4, he says this, look at the question, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? And God is asking the question for us tonight. He's asking, what else can I do? What else can I do? I mean, he's looking at Jonah, and God took care of him. God saved him, amen. God protected him. God gave him relief. And Jonah was more concerned about his comfort, more concerned about him being comfortable than people getting saved or people getting right with God, turning to the Lord. And so God says, okay, well, I'm going to take that relief away. He wasn't thankful for it. Amen. So God took it away. And so Jonah's complaining. And so God's kind of like, what else could I have done? And God's done so much in our life, and maybe He's asking us our question or this same question, like, what more could I do? What more could I do? Man, I gave you a home, gave you a family, gave you a church, gave you a Bible, give you eternal life, preparing your home in glory. And so many times, and I can speak for myself, I get unthankful. And I just think about me. Just think about me. Lord, and go beyond the things that God's blessed me with. And God has to come to me and bring me reality sometimes and say, well, what else can I do? What else can I do? So he says that thing. He says, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. You know what that means? That means that what it brought forth was poisonous. It was useless. It was undesirable. It was bitter. You know, if there'd been anybody around Jonah, he would have poisoned them. And if we're not careful, we can get in that place to where if somebody comes around us at the right time, you know what we can do? We can poison them. We can poison them. We got to be careful of that. And God's saying, what more could I have done? Right? Amen. And so there's Jonah. If you go back there, there's Jonah there in chapter 4. Jonah's like, man, he can't believe God did that. Lord, look at this thing. I mean, he became a wild grape, if you will. and this means that he became poisonous. He became useless. He became undesirable. And God couldn't use him anymore for the ministry. And sometimes if we're not careful, like I said, we can get in that place. And I don't know why the preacher didn't call on me to pray. Well, I don't know why they don't let me teach Sunday school, right? I can do better than Brother Drew. Well, Brother Johnny, preaching? Man, he ain't never been to school. A lady told me that one time. She said, you'd do a whole lot better if you'd just get some education. She did. I'm telling you, she did. And you know what I did? I laughed. I laughed. I guess. But, did it hurt my feelings? No, not really. It didn't hurt my feelings. And you know why? Because, see, I'm not listening to her. I'm listening to him. And see, everything that Paul learned in school, he got rid of. God got rid of it. And most of the time, and I'm not against Bible school. Please understand. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But you know something? Most people that don't believe in that book has been educated out of that book. And so you got to be careful of those things. Bible school is not for everybody. Peter didn't go to Bible school. As far as I know, John didn't go to Bible school. Now, Paul, what he did learn, he said, I count it as dung. I'm not against it. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'm just saying, folks, there's people that'll have that wrong heart. They'll come into a church and they'll poison it. They'll poison it. And if we're not careful, we'll poison the things that God would have for us to do. And we'll poison other people around us. By talking about this one or cornering that one or, hey, I got a prayer request, right? You know, I got a prayer request here. Yeah. Well, what's the prayer request? Well, so-and-so, wait a minute. You don't have to listen to it. The last time I checked, my phone's got a hang-up button on it. Right? I mean, I've had people hang up on me. I know it works. Some people have hung up on me. But I'm just saying, you can do the same thing. You can say, wait, look, you know, I'll pray for this situation, but I don't need to know all this. Let's put your stuff all on the big screen. Right? Let's just go ahead and, okay, if you want to lay all this stuff out, let's just go ahead and be fair about it. Let's put all of our stuff out there, right? Right? Amen. So there it is, and so we find there that there's Jonah, and you know what? He's a poison, and he became useless in the ministry. He became a wild grape, just like we read there in Isaiah chapter 5. And so there's just a couple other things, and we'll be done. But look there in verse number 8 of Jonah chapter 4. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. So we find that he prepared a gourd, he prepared a worm, and he prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Verse 9, and God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry. Notice what he says, even unto death. Do you see what he did? He was willing to die for the gourd, but not the people. He was willing to die for his comforts, but not for the ministry. Not for the Lord. You see how we can get? Oh, not me, Lord. I'll never leave you. Right? Not me, Lord. I won't ever. They may run off. Not me, Lord. But just give me my comfort. Just give me my gourd, amen? Just let me stay in my comfort zone. Don't ask me to do all that stuff, but I'll come to church. Or I'll, you know, sometimes... I'll do this, but Lord, don't ask me to do this other stuff. It's outside my comfort zone. And you know what? He was willing to die for his comfort. He's willing to die for the gourd. But he wasn't willing to die in the ministry or die in the service for the Lord. Amen. And folks, we can get that way. We can sure get that way. Well, you know, what are they going to think about me if I'm at church every time the doors is open? You know, what are they going to think about me if I try to hand them a tract? I mean, what are they going to think about me if I tell them I'm a Christian? Right? You know, I live this kind of life in front of all these people, and man, what are they going to think about me if they know that I'm really saved? Right? You know, we have a time down there at work, and... Hey, some boys, it's just like anywhere else, you know. They got mouths on them, you know. They do all that. I went walking by the bar section today, and let me explain. Yeah. Yeah, B-A-R. That's the section where they play the honky-tonk music, you know. The other day, one of the guys, I was over there looking at some stuff and inspecting some stuff, and, you know, you just have to stay focused because... You know, anyway, one of the guys was standing out in the aisle while I was over here in this section, and he goes out there hollering for me, and I come over there, and he goes, man, what are you doing in the bar? So I recorded today one of the songs that was playing. I sent it to my wife, and I said, I'm in the bar section today, but... But I mean, you know, you got to deal with certain things, but you know, when you get one-on-one, I've had to tell them, you know, this week I've had to walk with them and they'd get angry and they'd say something. I said, wait a minute, don't say that. Right. Amen. Amen. Don't say that. You know, don't do that. And sometimes you just got to do that. And then there's times you just got to be gracious and walk away, you know. That's the devil's world. But you don't have to participate. I mean, the Bible says Jesus became a man. He humbled himself as a man, right? But he became as a man and then was a man, but he didn't partake of the sin. And so you don't have to either. We don't have to partake of it. We can, God, listen, if there's a situation like that, God always provides a way that we can walk away or we can do something different. Amen. I mean, God always protects that way, and He'll do that if you look for that way. And sometimes it may be, your way out may be that, hey, look, I'm a Christian. I don't like that. And you know what? Every time that that's happened to me, let me tell you, several years ago, probably 15 years ago, I'm working, and that's when I was just an inspector. And I was in the lab, and I was doing some inspections and stuff, and there was a guy used to work there years ago. He come in there, and I'm not joking one bit. He come in there, and he stood. We've got a huge surface plate in there. It's called the Rock of Ages. and it's huge. It's about 2 foot thick and about 4 foot wide, and it's about 8 foot long, something like that. It's granite. It's just a big, solid granite surface plate. He comes in there and he lays his parts in there and he looks at me and he goes, you know what? He said, I ain't made you mad lately. He said, I'm going to make you mad. And I just kind of looked at him, and he went to fussing and a cussing. And I looked at him and I laugh about everything just about. And I don't mean anything by it, but I just laughed in his face and threw his part down and walked off. I don't know who checked it, whether anybody checked it or whatever, but I didn't. But, I mean, there's times, and then there's another guy years ago. He did almost the same thing. And he'd use this word and that word and this word. And finally, one day, I just told him, I said, look. And I called his name out, and I said, look. I said, I don't go around telling you that you're going to hell all the time. I said, I'd appreciate it if you'd quit using my God's name in vain. And I said, I'd appreciate it if you quit using them words. He said, preacher, what did he do? He quit. He quit saying it. He did. Amen. Even though he called my Bible a comic book. I mean, you know, that's just what they do. That's the devil's world. And I could tell you in both instances how those stories ended for those people. And it wasn't good. Wasn't good at all. One of them they found dead in his house. And nobody checked on him for about 2 weeks. Why? Because that's the kind of person he was. I'm just saying, folks, God will open a door and provide a way to get out of those situations if we're looking for it. If we're looking for it. So there he is. I've got to quit. There he is. And I told you I wasn't going to get loud or anything. I hadn't got loud. I hadn't fussed too much. But there he is. He wishes to die. He said, it's better for me to die than to live. Verse 9, he says, I do well to be angry, even unto death. I'll die because of my comforts. I'll die for that. But I'm not going to die for the people. I'm not going to die for you, Lord. I'm not going to die outside my comfort zone. But I will die for my comfort zone. I will do that. I'll work myself to death to get what I want. Right? I'll work 6 days a week. I'll work overtime. I'll do all these things, but Lord, don't ask me to go to church. Lord, don't ask me to witness to anybody. Lord, don't ask me to do these things because, you know what? I want to be comfortable. I want to buy that boat. I want to buy that truck. I want to buy them new shoes to match my new dress. Not my dress. I don't wear dresses, but... right? But, I mean, does that make sense? That's what we'll do. We'll kill ourselves for all that stuff. But notice what the Bible says there. God prepared a worm and it rose the next day and it smoked the gourd that it withered. Isn't it funny? It showed up in one day, but it was gone in one day. And we'll kill ourselves over something that doesn't last. That does not last. Are we seeing the picture? So let me give you this and I'll be done. I said, this is my third time. How many more times have I got? You know why he'd do that? Why he'd die for the gourd and not for the people? The gourd was beneficial to him. Made him comfortable. is beneficial to him. Why are you keeping yourself working? Well, I get money. You're making Uncle Sam happy. But the more you make, the more they take. Yeah. Isn't that right? Silly situation. I mean, so why would he die for the gourd, not the people, and not in the ministry? Because it was beneficial to him. He saw the benefits of the gourd in his comfort zone that, hey, you know, that's good. I feel good when the gourd's there, amen? I feel good in my comfort zone. I'll do anything to keep my comfort zone. And then a second thing is guess what? The gourd was free. Didn't cost him anything. Didn't cost him nothing. Amen. There was no labor involved. Amen. It didn't cost him anything. I mean, man, that's great. And then a third thing is it would take very little for him to maintain that gourd. Since it was free and all, it took very little for him to maintain it. But the problem is that when you're in the ministry, it takes work. It takes work to help people. It takes work. It takes effort. Ministering to people. It's a job. It's a job. In the ministry, see, it's not about me. It's about others. And it takes maintenance. It takes maintenance on me. I've got to do maintenance on me. I've got to ask God, Lord, help me tighten up. Help me get this right. Help me get that right. Help me to talk right. Help me to do what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Help me to do these things. Why? Man, in the ministry, it takes work. Jonah wasn't wanting to do that. And that's where we are a lot of times in this. Are you beginning to see his selfishness and his bitterness and all that stuff? You beginning to see all that? And boy, I tell you, that's just a picture of us. I mean, you know, man, if that gourd ain't there, we get upset. But here's the last point, verse number 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd. For the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. You know what Jonah did, or what Jonah was doing? And we've got to be careful of this ourselves. We're willing to sacrifice, just like Jonah sometimes, we're willing to sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the temporary. And that's what we do. We'll sacrifice the eternal. We'll put all that off as long as we can keep our temporary comforts. As long as I feel good. As long as I'm still in my comfort zone. Doesn't matter what the church grows or not. Doesn't matter if the people turn to the Lord. Doesn't matter about all those other things as long as I'm comfortable. And that's where Jonah was at. Amen. That's where Jonah was at. And folks, if we're not careful, we can become that poison. And we can become that bitterness. And we can become all those things. And we really need to do a checkup. Amen. We really need to do a checkup. And find out where we're at. And see, you know, where's my heart? What is that David said? We sing that song, "Search me, O God," right? And know my heart today, right? How many of us would just say, "Lord, I'm open. I want you to come, and I want you to just stir around in my heart every corner, every place in my heart. Lord, I want you to shine your light and just see if there's any wicked way in me." Boy, we need to do that, really and truly. We need to do that every day. Every day we need to do that. I need to do that every day. Every day. And folks, we'll be different if we'll do that. I promise you. We'll be different. Not better than anybody. That's not the different we're talking about. But we'd be different. Amen. We'd be different. All right. That's all I've got. So